And good morning. Welcome to a beautiful day outside. You ought to go outside and check it out. It's gorgeous. Alrighty, I have a study right here, and I can't even remember if I shared this with you or not, but I was looking at this, and I just thought, this is really kind of interesting. So, here's the bottom line. Obviously, we like things that improve the quality of our life. And I'm convinced that God has given us work to do, and that work, in turn, can give us satisfaction. It can help with some of our life's meaning. I mean, the bottom line is, you've got to be able to take care of your own needs. You don't want to be disabled and rely on everybody else to take care of you, not if you're an able-bodied person. And so let me read this to you right here. It's called, the title of this research is Hard Workers Live Longer. I know this is probably not going to be real popular, but maybe I'm reading this for myself, because I like, it's just so fun and interesting to find information. And yes, maybe I'm biased toward this. Okay, maybe I should do an article on the benefits of being lazy. I don't know. let's have a go at this. Some say that hard workers work themselves to death. Is it actually true? Men and women who work themselves to the bone in search of betterment are unlikely to live to an old age, and the stress of the commitments they impose on them reduces their life expectancy. Well, that's one belief. Well, you know, that may sound logical, but according to the psychologist at the University of California, it's the reverse that's actually true. Okay. This next section is just a little bit unusual, but just play along like it sounds good. There was an American psychologist by the name of Lewis Madison Terman, and he was actually quite the controversial figure, as you will find out. In the early 20th century, he was a champion of apartheid and eugenics, and he worked for the Human Betterment Foundation, an organization that campaigned for the compulsory sterilization of people with faulty genes. Well, that sounds horrible. I don't approve of that. Terman's interest, however, was not confined to inferior humans who he believed should not be allowed to reproduce. He was also fascinated by very gifted children. So in 1921, he started the Genetic Studies of Genius Project. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. This is my first time to hear of it. In which his aim was to follow a large group of highly intelligent young people over many years, or in this case, over a lifespan. The psychologist by the name of Terman, he died in 1956. But his project is still going on, even to today. Psychologists are still following the highly gifted school children of the 1920s. The mildly fascist orientation of the project has long been since dropped, and the project is now called the Terman Life Cycle Study. So I'm pleased with that. In the Annals of Behavioral Medicine, the researchers published a sub-study for which they used the data on just under 700 participants who had been monitored under the Terman Life Cycle Study until 2006. Okay. The researchers measured the career success that the men had achieved using criteria that included occupational classification according to the then current job census. They measured job prestige, job performance, roles of leadership in the workplace, honors, recognitions received, and annual income. The researchers divided the men into three categories: not successful, moderately successful, and successful. So maybe that's mild, moderate, and totally successful. And what they found was, researchers looked at the age that the men had reached, and the figure below emerged. There's a chart. I'm not going to read it to you. The more successful the men had been, the longer they lived. Now, that's interesting. And so they came up with a character quality or if you want to call it a personality quality. It's called conscientiousness. So they determined that a successful career actually lengthens your lifespan and improves the quality of your life. So now there's also a psychological trait that is associated with a longer life, but also determines how successful you are in your career. Guess what it's called? Being conscientious, or conscientiousness. And they go on to say that conscientious people have self-discipline and ambition. They think before they act, and they are tidy, organized, and they pay attention to detail. And above all, they're hard workers. Anyway, that's what the study says. But you know what I thought of? I looked in the Bible that Randy has under the keyboard here at the radio station, and I looked up Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And guess what it says? And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Well, there's a great command right there to be conscientious. Do whatever you can with all your might, as serving God and not man. So, hard workers always live longer, regardless of how successful they are. You got to remember, in life, money is not the only goal. I asked a man yesterday, I said, how much money would you take in exchange for not going to heaven? And of course, you know the answer to that. Nobody is going to do that. So you know what the lowest risk of dying is prematurely? Okay. If you work hard, things are really looking good in your favor. All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Okay, study number two. This one caught my attention. And by the way, I like to look up different articles because I want to find different lines of thought and thinking. But this one, I don't know if you know this or not, but liver cancer is definitely on the rise. It's been a while since I looked at it, but when you compare your studies on the occurrence of liver cancer from like 100 years ago to now, well, it's not going away. It's on the increase. And, of course, one of the hardest things on your liver is just drinking alcohol. I should probably do a whole program just on the damaging effects of the body from alcohol, but it'd be probably like one of those down-in-the-dumps conversations, and so sometimes I don't cover those because, you know, nobody wants to hear that. I think fundamentally, everybody knows that you can literally wreck your body with a daily consumption of alcohol. Would you agree with that? Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. You was talking about exercise. Well, me and my wife, I used to ride more up till last year, and it just kept on having trouble with it. I got tired of working on it, so we got us two push mowers, and we're doing just fine with them.
How much do you have to mow?
Well, about 3 hours a week. We usually just do it 1 hour at a time.
Does this mean it's like quite a bit over an acre of grass?
Yes, sir. Probably 2.5 acres altogether.
So between the two of you, you can cover 2.5 acres in about 3 hours?
Yes, sir.
How many times do you have to fill up the mower with gas?
Twice.
Okay. What kind of mowers did you buy?
We got the Troy-Bilt push mowers.
Where'd you find those?
We got those at Tractor Supply.
Oh, now are these, are they just push mowers or are they self-propelled push mowers?
No, sir, you push them.
Oh, my goodness.
And my granddaughter works at Tractor Supply, so we get 15% off the family discount.
So that means if I need a lawnmower, I just contact you, and you contact your granddaughter, and then bingo, I get a discount?
It just don't work that way. But
oh,
that's a good discount.
How often do you have to sharpen your blades?
Well, I haven't had to yet. This is our second year.
You must not have Bahia grass.
I do some, yes, sir.
But it hasn't destroyed the blades too much yet?
No, and this is our second year.
Well, maybe they used really high-quality steel to make those blades to begin
with. They must have. The next time I buy them, I might go ahead and buy Troy Belt blades if they got them, because that's really good.
Hey, did they tell you on the lawnmower that this will extend the quality of your life and your longevity if you use a push mower and work really hard?
No, but they sure needed to put a sign on there because, you know, it really helps us stay in shape.
I wonder if the Surgeon General would say he approves of Troy Belt push lawnmowers.
I bet he would. I didn't want to take up any more time.
No, but thank you for calling and telling me that, because that's like the perfect example of what I'm talking about. So if you keep your body moving, you keep it strong, yeah, and you stay healthy, right?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm 75 and still in good health.
You beat me to the punch. I was just fixing to ask you what your age was.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not asking your wife's age. That's inappropriate, right?
No, but she is much younger.
Oh, well, I knew it. You really go for the younger ones, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for your phone call today.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
God bless you. Have a good day. Bye-bye. You know, it's kind of funny, but you have the choice of having maybe two distinct and opposing attitudes. One person might say, there is no way I'm mowing this grass unless I have a riding lawnmower. Or another person might say, this is horrible. Why would anybody want to mow their yard? That's for the birds. I'm going to hire somebody to do it. And so before you know it, I wonder what it would cost to hire somebody to mow 2.5 acres. I probably would be way off, but what would that be, $120? I really don't know. But to make a long story short, you give another person a lawnmower and they say, oh my, this is like the greatest therapy of all time. I could be so stressed. I'm thinking about a million things. But when I get on the lawnmower and I look behind me and I go, oh, this looks clean. See, that's what a conscientious person does. They like to be neat and organized and tidy. So it's almost like when you mow the grass, you're bringing a little bit of order, you know, to your small part of the world. Does that make sense? And plus, also, like I covered last week, I was discussing this topic just briefly with Jimmy yesterday. And I know that Jimmy totally digs this. But I said, you know what I believe? I said, a tree that's connected to the earth. And the earth has what's called its own highly unique electromagnetic field. So the tree is like plugged into the wall, like an electrical outlet to the earth. And then what does the tree do? The tree starts emitting all these, what I'm going to call essential oils, like pinene, alpha pinene, whatever that chemical was that I read last week. But the point is that when you're outside, you start soaking up, absorbing, breathing in. If you want to say consuming, I'm okay with that. But you get these essential oils from the pine tree and from the oak tree and from cedar trees and all the other flora and fauna. I can't name all of them, and from flowers. But these things are actually designed to help improve the quality of your life. So one of the concerns that I always have is if you have an individual that's really suffering with their health, but they are stuck indoors all day long. I don't know if you remember this or have any knowledge of it, but they used to have what were called tuberculosis sanitariums. Okay? And so if somebody was diagnosed by a medical doctor, they were infected with TB or tuberculosis. Oh, my word. Well, we're going to have to quarantine you. We're going to take you away from your home or where you live in the city, and we're going to send you to a sanitarium. That would have been like a quarantine hospital, I guess, or if you want to call it like a clinic. But they had it separated. But almost always where the sanitariums were, they were away from the general population of the cities. They were out in the countryside where there were rolling hills and meadows and gardens and trees. And probably, if you ask me, there's probably streams and creeks and water and all sorts of fun things outside. But the studies always demonstrated that the more time that the individuals that were committed to the sanitariums were outdoors and outside, the quicker they healed from tuberculosis. So now we know this stimulates the immune system. Good morning and welcome to the program.
A slight chance of showers and thunderstorms.
Yeah, you're going to have to unplug that.
yeah, sorry. Hi, Doug. Good morning. I called because
I might be facing quite serious surgery in a few weeks' time, and I probably will be under an anesthetic for 4 hours or five. Mm-hmm. And I know that that can be very detrimental to your health, especially your brain health. And I just wondered if you had any recommendations as to what I might do or take beforehand or afterwards to help, you know, lessen that situation.
Well, what you want to do is there's going to be multiple things you need to do. Go into training right now, which means go for long walks every day if you can.
Yeah, I can.
Okay, spend as much time outdoors as you can.
Yeah.
There is a organ meat called liver. Sometimes it's called beef liver.
Yeah.
Beef liver absolutely has the highest natural occurring amount of what's called vitamin B12. One of the negative consequences of anesthesia is that it rapidly destroys and depletes the brain of its B12 levels.
Yeah.
And so if you start building your reserves now, which your liver is a storage depot for vitamins and nutrients, and so the more that you can kind of pack in there or bulk your liver up with B12, the better this is going to go for you. You have, and I know it makes sense, you want to have a rich reserve of energy in your body to help counter having a surgical procedure, which surgery takes energy out of you. So
yeah.
If you start eating liver and onions twice a week, that'd be a smart thing to do.
Okay.
The other thing that I would do if it was me, and I don't know that I have to be organized in telling this information, but just let me kind of lay it out for you. There is a substance that grows in the ocean. It's kind of a blue-green algae or a form of algae, I should have said. I think spirulina is really a blue-green algae, but what I'm referring to is an algae that grows in the Pacific Ocean called chlorella.
Yeah.
You ever heard of chlorella?
Well, I've heard you talk about it, yes.
Chlorella is a very interesting algae, and if you've ever seen a tablet of chlorella or the powder, it's like almost like a black-green color. It's just so dark, but it's like so concentrated with what would be called chlorophyll. So my interest would be with chlorella. Anytime that your body's going to come in contact with a chemical of some kind, and you're going to come in contact with chemicals with anesthesia, chlorella helps neutralize the toxic effects thereof. And so there could be probably a million ways I could say this. You could say, what if a person had been addicted to recreational drugs and they just couldn't get off of them? Well, chlorella might be one of the best ways possible to help detoxify the human body. It works like a champ. But also it contains certain proteins. And so if I went to my next topic, I'd say the main substance that your body is made of is called amino acids. And I would say if you were to Google, does a person need protein when they're recovering from surgery? I'm just sort of joking with you about that. The answer is always going to be yes. But when you eat seafood, that could be everything from flounder to salmon to halibut to cod. I wonder if they have any blue catfish in the Arctic Ocean. I'm just joking. I don't think. Aren't you like a fisherman from like the North Sea?
Yeah, one time. Yeah.
You took your kayak out there to see what you could catch, right? No, but what you would do is if you start going into training and saying, I'm going to physically exercise every day. Personally, if it was me, if the only thing that you did was walk and then stretch maybe twice a day, I would say that would be a really, really good insurance policy to make sure that you have every available chance for things to go really, really well, as compared to somebody that says, you know what, I've got surgery in 3 weeks, I better just lay in bed for 3 weeks. That's not going to go well. The body does not like laying in bed. It just, everything, you just lose so much of your strength. And so if you try consuming a little bit extra protein, it doesn't have to be fish. It could be from chicken or eggs or even beef, things like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me, yeah.
If Dixie really, really loved you, she would go pheasant hunting later today and bake you a pheasant in the oven, right?
Not likely to happen. But I tell you what is likely to happen. We, like your previous caller, the gentleman who bought a walk-behind mower, we did the same thing for the same reason.
Wow. Is that the reason you're still walking?
Yeah,
I'm good. Having listened to you, I'll be out there this morning following that mower around, I think, and we'll get some working that way.
Now, I know this next recommendation is going to sound pretty simple, but have you ever heard of vitamin C before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Vitamin C, in my mind, is one of the most beneficial water-soluble vitamins that your body is going to kind of burn through. Anytime that you have a surgical incision on the body or you have anesthesia, your body's going to start burning through the vitamin C. So right now, your charge for the next 3 weeks, you know, give or take a day or two, is you're trying to build up your strength and build up your reserves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
So if you're highly addicted to nacho cheese Doritos and Cheetos, maybe you should avoid those for the next 3 weeks and just focus on eating berries and fruit. And you know what? I'm not trying to make a joke by saying this, but sometimes when guys are trying to get really, really physically fit, you know, for an athletic competition, you know what they focus on eating? Two things, fruit and meat. That's about all they eat.
Oh. Okay.
So could you imagine her coming to you and saying, I demand that you eat this bowl of fresh strawberries and blueberries right now or you're in big trouble, buddy. You could do that, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate your help. Yeah,
you're welcome. Well, I hope that helps a lot.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Okay, I'll be rooting for you. I want to hear a good result.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Maybe I didn't elucidate the point, but when you consume deep, cold ocean water fish, what you get is you get the omega-3 fatty acids and you get the EPA and the DHA, which that's just so critical for brain health. And I don't know that I've actually come across a study where they talk about anesthesia and EPA or DHA. That'd be called fish oil. But I bet you I could find one. If I had my laptop right now, I could just Google it and try to figure it out. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How about you?
All good, I guess. I have a question about knees and joints. My knees, I've been to the doctors and they tell me that through x-rays that I'm almost pretty much bone to bone. Before I went to the doctor and did that, I took glucosamine because they just hurt all the time. Just thought it was, you know, they just hurt.
But did that help?
Some. I took Joint Effects, glucosamine. I think there was a different brand that I took at one time. Seemed to help just a little bit. But right now, they've given me some meloxicam, which is a substitute for Mobic, I believe, just for a little bit of pain. And also trying K2 plus D3 dietary supplement. And I just wonder if there's what your thoughts are on anything that I can prolong before I have to do a surgery.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Number one, if I don't go in a perfect order, just, you know, cut me some slack, okay?
All righty.
If I, off the top of my head, the one substance that I'm going to do my best to sell you on is called MSM.
Okay.
I think it stands for methyl sulfonyl methane. It's a sulfur compound, which glucosamine sulfate, that's a sulfur compound, and chondroitin sulfate is a sulfur-bound compound, but some of the toughest knee situations I've ever seen, they tend to respond very well to that form called MSM.
Okay.
Which, and I'm trying to think, where does it come from? It may be a byproduct of converting trees into paper. So don't quote me on that. I have to look that up. So MSM is one thing that I would look at, because I think that's going to promote much greater lubricity of your knees. And so you've got nothing to lose by trying it. I don't know of any one person that I've seen take MSM that called me and said, hey, this stuff messed me up. You're in big trouble. That just hadn't happened.
Yeah.
The product that I always use as a simple trial is a product called Ligaplex 2 by Standard Process.
Good.
And that doesn't take long for it to work. So if you determine that you're actually getting better performance from your knees, you have less pain, less inflammation, they seem to function better, then that would be like something good that you could try. The next thing that I would look at is called Shilajit. And I'm going to try to spell that. I'll probably butcher it, but I think it's spelled S-H-I-L-A-J, as in Jason, I-T. Shilajit.
Okay.
It's like made of asphalt, but it's good for the knees.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing that I would do, and this you're just going to have to kind of take it with a grain of salt, because I don't expect this to be like a real fun recommendation, but what you've got to do is you've got to move toward being able to do like a full body weight squat where you can hold it for at least 5 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. For the sake of your knees. And so if you were to go on to, there's a website called YouTube, and if you just typed in full body weight squat for knee health, just holding it for 5 minutes, see what you come up with, and you see if you can have one individual demonstrate it. But it's going to be one of those things you're going to have to work into it. But here's the whole key right here. Everything that I'm trying to promote to you, it's designed to improve the function of your knee, which, in all fairness, can I tell you what I believe? The knee is absolutely the most complicated, sophisticated joint in all the body. There's nothing else like it. It's amazing, but when it doesn't work right, yeah, I get it, you're suffering. I also like an exercise called knee circles. And you could just type in knee circle. Actually, what you could do is you could type in judo and then knee circles, and you'll see like a judo player demonstrating knee circles.
Uh-huh.
You got nothing to lose. But your whole fortune is going to be based on, can you improve the function of the knee joints? So if you can do full weight body squats and hold them or build up to it, knee circles, you could also ride a bicycle, even if it was a recumbent bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've done studies and they've shown what happens when it's bone on bone, and you do two things. You either move your knees more or you rest them. Well, resting them is just a disaster. You're just going to lose everything. But if you keep them, move them, if you lubricate them, there's your chance for success to get through this.
Okay.
And so the other thing is, you just need to look up a stretching routine. You need to be stretching your hips and your knees every single day. Even if all you take from this conversation is, you're going to sit on the floor, you're going to take your laptop computer, and you're going to watch a video on how to stretch your knees, and you're going to start doing that. But yeah, it's going to be brutally painful.
Yep.
Sometimes I'll actually use a drop of tea tree oil mixed with castor oil and rub that into the knees.
Okay.
They have a device, and I'm so sorry I can't remember it. It's just a pad that you put on top of your knee, but it absorbs the pain signals, and it's like non-pharmaceutical. They sell them on the internet, and I can't remember the name of it. It's like I know what it looks like. It looks like a big triangle or a badge, but I can't remember the name of it. It's something about pain signal. If you typed in how to reduce pain signals with a patch, you might kind of look at that right there. But the only way through this is to try to help the body to heal more quickly. So between the supplements that I've mentioned, I didn't say it, but I'm sure you understand it. The more sugar you consume, the worse the knees are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I've had patient after patient tell me when they practiced fasting, their knee pain disappeared and went away.
Yeah.
And so, if you're a man, and you are, donating blood is absolutely one of the best ways that you start pulling the debris out of your blood and your joints.
Okay.
I mean, that's a real common feedback that I get from people. They'll say, hey, Dr. Morgan, look at this. And I go, what am I looking at? I can move without pain. I'm going, okay, I get what you're saying.
Okay.
So it's really hard to dispute a person that says, you know, I have horrible arthritis all over my body, and then when they give blood, the arthritis and the pain goes away.
Yeah.
So those are some ideas right there.
All right, well, that sounds good. I'll see if I can practice some of those and find these products.
Now, if you rub castor oil all over your knees and you go to the ballet, the person that catches you may slide right through their hands.
Yeah.
So just warning you, I mean.
Okay. All right.
I'm sure you needed to hear that, didn't you?
Well, I don't think I'm much into the ballet.
Hey, thanks a bunch for your phone call. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day, buddy. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. You too. Bye-bye.
Well, I mean, you never know. Maybe he is into ballet. How am I supposed to know? I'm not a mind reader. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Okay. What I'm going to do is, unless I get a phone call, I'll always put the phone call at the top of the totem pole as far as priority. 903-586-5257. Alrighty. Here it goes. Hepatologist, which that's a type of a doctor that studies the liver, and which the liver is by far and away the largest internal filtering organ and factory of the body. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Dr. Morgan. I had a question regarding people with the anxiety panic attacks. You know, it's become, I never heard it before, but it's become very common. And just yesterday I heard to a member of my family that they have that, like they are in a store and suddenly they have this, I mean, basically.
I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
So, and, you know, of course they're believers and, I mean, that's the power of prayer. And I just wonder, is there a chemical imbalance or kind of what's your opinion on that? Or is there something physical or is it just?
It's going to be a combination of both. Or it's going to be a combination of all the above. And so can I give you some examples?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm gonna say some terminology, and there's a like a probability that very few people have heard of this. Some have. Okay. So the highest correlation to having anxiety and depression or panic attacks is going to be what's called an overactive default mode network.
Okay.
And so in the between the right and the left hemisphere of your brain, you have all these midline brain structures, and that's what kind of connects the right to the left. Mm-hmm. And from what I can tell, that's like God's great design. You want to have your brain communicate from one lobe to the next. But you have a collection of these brain nuclei and these brain structures. It could be everything from the amygdala to the hypothalamus to the thalamus, the corpus callosum, cingulate gyrus, all sorts of brain structures. But if that's over-processing or overworking, then you have what's called an overactive default mode network. So let me give you a couple of ideas, because I'm really trying to make it sound simple, for my sake mainly, not for yours, but I want to make sure that I'm on track here. If a person lays down in bed at night and they put their head on the pillow and they close their eyes and their room is dark, which is the way it should be, if it takes them 30 minutes to fall asleep because their mind is racing and they're processing and thinking, that's an overactive default mode network.
Okay.
Or if they wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and they're just, I mean, they hit the ground running. They're just thinking. And it could be everything from they're trying to solve a problem. Or another way of saying this is, what if a person wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning and they start thinking about a very, very bad event that happened in their life like 6 years ago? Have you ever heard the term rumination?
Yes.
Okay, that means you're just reliving something that happened. And, you know, I'm trying to make it sound simple, but you know what I'm saying is correct. You and I can't do one thing about something that happened 25 years ago, can we?
Nope.
But what you do is you start replaying the conversation, wanting it to take a different turn, turn out better or differently, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's called overthinking or overprocessing. Some people call it looping. I kind of like the term looping because it's almost like you've got this movie reel and you just keep looping it and replaying it. You hit the rewind button and you start over again. But you know what I'm saying. It ends in madness because there's nothing you can do about it. But when you have an overactive default mode network, what you're doing is you're asking for trouble. And so you get your body so wound up that you get into a state of what's called fight or flight. And so even though there's no imminent harm or danger, see, it's not like there's a pack of wolves chasing you through the forest, and if you don't get up the tree, they're going to eat you for breakfast. That's not what's happening. mm-hmm. or you're not on the edge of a cliff hanging on by a pinky finger and about to fall to your demise. That's not the problem. Mm-hmm. But in your mind, when you start thinking, and so all you really have to do is you have to start thinking about something that happened in the past that's very stressful and unpleasant, and your body instantly starts pumping out massive amounts of cortisol and adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And so I know this sounds bizarre what I'm saying, but that's the most devastating thing to the nervous system and to the adrenal glands and to the brain, is you just have to start thinking about something that's unpleasant. And which you already know where I'm going to go with this, but in the book of Corinthians, doesn't it tell us that we're supposed to take every thought captive for Christ?
Correct.
And that's hard to do sometimes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have an overactive default mode network, you're going to be prone to having a panic attack. And I've seen multiple panic attacks right in front of me before, and not one of them has ever been pleasant. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If I see one more, I may have a panic attack myself, which wouldn't be fun. But they're brutal. I feel bad for the person. But they never last longer than, 20, 30 minutes. They always resolve. So like if you have a relative having one, you'd say, okay, what can we learn from this? How can we get through this? But if I were to examine this individual, that's probably the first thing that I would go for, is I would try to do my version of an examination to mm-hmm. test their default mode network to see if that's where it's coming from. And if it is, then I start trying to respond with, you already know what I'm fixing to say, but you can't just tell a person, hey, maybe you shouldn't think about those things, and maybe you shouldn't stress, and why don't you just not forget? It's hard to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you ever caught yourself thinking about something that was just unproductive?
Yeah,
once or twice. Well, you're looking at the master of it. I think I've done more than anybody, but it's easy to do. But, the Christian faith, quite often, you're growing, you're learning, you're improving, you're maturing, you're getting better over time, right?
Right.
Which means all of us are a work in progress. So what I would do with a person in this situation is, number one, I got to find out, is there anything they're eating or consuming that's just completely making matters worse? Mm-hmm. And so if they happen to have a diet that's really, really high in junk food and really high in sugar, and what I'm concerned about, there's a chemical that they add to food to enhance the flavor of the food. It's called monosodium glutamate.
Uh-huh, heard of that.
I guarantee you can make panic attacks worse by consuming alcohol, lots of sugar, lots of junk food, and throw MSG in that, and you've got all the conditions are right for a person to have depression, anxiety, panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at the studies on what is associated with high depression? Well, usually it's drinking carbonated beverages, meaning like sugary soda waters. Does that make sense?
Well, this lady, she has like a pretty clean diet. So, and she's young. She's like 28. I mean, so.
Okay, so that's not relevant to her about the dietary issues, but at least I covered that. That may be relevant to somebody listening, though.
Absolutely. So I wonder, but I did wonder, because she has a high stress life with young children.
Well, yeah, I was going to
deficiency of something.
Well, of course. Okay, yes, that's a good way to kind of pull me back to what's relevant to her. Mm-hmm. So in her situation, what she's going to probably need quite a bit more of than the average person is magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had so many women tell me, if I just take a spoonful of Calm, which is a magnesium, kind of a, it's a powder that you'd stir in water or herbal tea, and it dissolves, it kind of bubbles and effervesces.
Yeah.
So it may be that she has to experiment with magnesium or Calm.
I did suggest that. I think Calm would help some, and that takes some. I don't know how much, but
you do have to experiment with the dose. And so, can I just make it sound simple? Sure. What if she has to take 2 to 3 to feel like $1 million? Okay, mm-hmm. One doesn't do the job. It might take 2.
Uh huh.
There's always a threshold. Sure. It's just like if somebody was severely dehydrated, you can't say, "Now I only want you to drink 4 ounces of water. I don't want you to overdrink." And are you kidding? They're going to drink like 2 quarts before they're satisfied if they're dehydrating. So we want to supply the body what it needs. And so magnesium is one of those tremendous players. Mm-hmm. And so if she's got young children, what that means is there's no way out of this. She's not going to go to the Caribbean for a vacation for 2 weeks with you, where y'all sit on the beach and talk about how do we do our lives better? How can we serve God better? That'd be nice, but that's the wheels of life are in motion. She's got kids and responsibilities, so we have to find a way to fix her while she's in her life, right?
Correct.
And so the more time that she spends out of doors, it's been proven, the less anxiety you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she can... What did your mother tell you when you were 6 years old? Get outside and play and make up your own fun, right?
Yeah.
That's what she should be telling her kids. There's an herb called ashwagandha.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one called rhodiola.
Okay.
There's another one called ginseng. There's one called holy basil. It's really called holy basil. I don't think I've read that word in the Bible, like thou should taketh holy basil. But All these things, they act as what are called adaptogens. And that's what she needs right now. When you have a panic attack or you have anxiety or depression, that means your body is not adapting to your stress. Not all stress is bad. Sometimes stress is good, like, I've got to get this work done. So you apply yourself, or you set your mind like flint, you're going to get this done. Mm-hmm. And so the other thing is, when her husband comes home from work, she probably needs to start having like a girl's night out, you know, once a week, where she goes out with some trusted girlfriends. Preferably not a girlfriend or a friend that's going to dump on her the whole time, but where they can, you know, have mutual respect and say, I'm struggling with this. Do you have any ideas?
Yes.
You know, people are funny, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
So if she had like a way just to decompress and process and get away from the family for like 3 hours once a week, that'd probably like help reset that system a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, out of all the herbs that I mentioned, it may be that rhodiola gives her the biggest bang for the buck. If I have a woman that tells me I cannot make it another moment, then I usually think of Chinese skullcap.
Mm-hmm.
They have flower remedies called Bach flower remedies. There's one called Rescue Remedy. She could start working on that right now.
Okay.
But everything is going to begin and end based on how healthy the nervous system and the brain is. And it may be that what you're telling me is she's suffering from burnout.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes, sir.
She's just at the end of herself. She's exhausted. The kids probably wake her up in the middle of the night. And for all I know, maybe she's got like a baby that needs to be nursed twice a night and diaper changes.
Yeah, she's not getting a steady night's sleep just for a couple of years.
Oh, man. Who wouldn't be worn out?
Yeah.
Did you ever go through that where you had like 2 years straight with no rest?
Not 2 years, no.
But you had a season, and you could see how that would be exhausting after a few years, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that made me feel good, because the things you say as far as what could be worse physically, I thought about the ashwagandha and the magnesium. And
well, you're trying to help your friend, right?
Yes.
I mean, your family member, excuse me.
Yes. All right. Well, that's very helpful confirmation. So give something to see if we can help with.
I think what you should do is go over to her house today, and y'all should splash in the rain puddles when it rains at lunchtime.
Well, I need to do that for myself.
And actually, see, the more that she laughs, she's discharging some of that stress. You've got to have laughter.
That's right.
Maybe that's why the writer of Proverbs says, laughter worketh good like a medicine.
That's for sure.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. I hope it helps. Bye.
Bye.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. This is only my opinion, but I really think the hardest thing of all time to control are your thoughts. It is absolutely the most challenging. But it's like anything else. You've got to develop that muscle on saying, no, stop doing that. We need to think about something that's more productive. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, a few minutes ago when you were talking about hurting knees, you named a product by Standard Process. Would you please spell that?
I'm going to write it down first.
Okay. You said it so fast, I'm not even sure if I got down any of the right letters.
Ma'am, that's the first time anybody's asked me to ever repeat myself from talking too fast. No, I'm joking. Okay, it's a letter. I'm just going to spell it LIGAPLEX, Ligaplex.
Did you say P or D?
There's no L? D. It's okay. capital L.
Yeah, I got that. I'm talking about, you said L.
Well, I said Ligaplex with a P.
Okay. That's what I didn't
get. Okay, so it's called Ligaplex 2. That's the one that I use the most of.
Okay. Well, I get other things from Standard Process and would like to add that to it.
Well, and you can put it to the test. Usually it takes about 6 capsules a day to do the job.
Oh, okay.
So order a large bottle and put it to the test.
I sure will.
Well, good
okay.
deal.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Have
Bye.
A good day. Bye-bye. Okay, once again, there is a phone line open, 903-586-5257. And she's right. Sometimes I do say things really, really fast. I probably need to slow down. Sometimes I think I'm trying to cram as much information in a short period of time. But the truth of it is, what if you just get one or two simple things, and that makes all the difference with you? Well, then that's all that's necessary. Well, hello. Welcome to the program.
Oh, my goodness. I got through. Good morning.
I can hear you racing down the freeway as we speak.
Yes, sir.
How fast are you going? Is it 85 or 90?
Oh, no, sir. No. I actually took the cruise off. I'll go the speed limit.
Okay, good.
Guilty as charged.
No, I'm only joking.
Sir, I've been doing studies, and I reference other people as far as learning more herbal remedies and methods other than, like, synthetic drugs. And I need a point of reference to help me with poor gut health. I'm learning that magnesium is not well received into our system through the gut. Is that true?
No.
So, why am I learning that bad?
I don't know what your point of reference is. I mean, you're giving me like a pretty broad statement. So magnesium is one of the most critical elements. If anything, I'd probably say it's the top mineral deficiency in the standard American diet, meaning it's severely lacking. And so when you put magnesium, can I just give you some examples?
Yes.
What if you said, I cannot wait for lunch today. It's going to be turnip greens and collard greens, and I'm going to eat salmon, and they're going to, you know, I'm going to have some walnuts along with it for dessert with blueberries. Well, that's going to be a magnesium-rich meal right there.
Yes.
Your body is this may not be the right terminology, but I'm going to say your body is jealous for magnesium, which means it goes, oh my goodness, there's some magnesium here in the gut. Let's scarf it up right now. Now, when you drink soft drinks, you lose magnesium like there's no tomorrow. It just flushes right through you.
Well, okay.
Now, to answer the second part of the question or the statement, it may be what you're referring to. There is a form of magnesium that I don't really think is a good form. It's called magnesium oxide.
Oh, I don't know.
If somebody said they want you to consume iron oxide, would you do that? You'd say, heck no. That's rust. So I don't think that magnesium oxide or iron oxide or zinc oxide, those are fine if you want to use those in industrial paint to paint a guardrail with, but not for the human body. So when you eat plants and vegetation that has higher amounts of magnesium, like, for example, some people take alfalfa tablets, or some people consume a substance called chlorella, like I mentioned earlier. Those are magnesium rich. And so, but you're getting the plant to process the magnesium to make it bioavailable or agreeable to the human cell.
Okay, so with a leaky gut, as for instance, magnesium is still absorbed.
Of course, yeah. What leaky gut is usually referring to, it's allowing things that are toxic to pass through. I mean, that's what your small intestine is supposed to do. It's supposed to selectively absorb the good nutrients from the food, whether that's, you know, carbohydrates or good protein and magnesium. But it's also supposed to keep out the stuff that might have a toxic quality, like maybe you ate something that was a little bit, that had some chemicals in it. I'm sort of joking when I say this, but if you said, I'm going to test my body today, my gut, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to drink a Big Red, and I'm going to have Starburst fruit chews, and I'm going to eat red-colored donuts and eat fiery hot Cheetos. Well, that red dye, there's nothing beneficial from red dye to the human body, so your body says, that's toxic. Let's just get rid of it and pass it out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And if you had a leaky gut, you're probably going to absorb some of that toxic red dye, and it could have an adverse effect on other systems of your body.
Okay, okay, that makes sense. Ever so quickly, did you have a pout or poo-poo the idea of receiving magnesium through the skin if it's available in like a liquid form?
Oh, of course, yeah. That's why forever and a day people have taken what are called Epsom salt baths. So like if you had a young child that was constipated, all you might have to do is just pour a cup of Epsom salt, which is magnesium sulfate, into the bath water, and guess what happens? The child poops all of a sudden. They went from constipation to getting, you can soak up magnesium through the skin. So you can rub it on with a magnesium oil, magnesium spray. But just so you know, we're kind of designed to eat it, though.
Right. Okay.
But I'm all for magnesium oil. If you want to rub it on your feet, that's fine.
I learned how to make magnesium oil, which is not oil at all. Fun fact. And that's what I'm trying to figure out why I was being taught that the magnesium oil is available for those who cannot receive magnesium.
Well, like what they're saying is there's some truth to what they're saying, but what you're telling me that you want to do is you just prefer to repair the gut so you can absorb magnesium from the food you eat, right?
I'm learning that, yes, is the answer.
Well, and you got to understand this also. There's a thing called biochemical individuality, which means one person, they may function at a super high level with minimal amounts of magnesium, but another person, they may take 10 times as much just to be able to function. I would say the more stress that a person's under, the more magnesium they require to be able to counter or manage that stress. Can I give you one example?
Yes.
If somebody has a heart attack, another way of saying that is nothing more than a big Charlie horse of the heart. If you can't get enough oxygen-rich blood to the heart muscle, it's going to seize up, just like if you had a bad cramp in your calf muscle or your foot or your lower leg from lack of oxygen. Well, what they used to do in all hospitals, it was standard protocol, they would start an IV with magnesium sulfate to try to counter the heart attack, because anytime that you put magnesium in the blood, it carries more oxygen in the blood flow than if you don't have magnesium. And so magnesium relaxes the heart muscle so you can absorb more oxygen. Or another way of saying it, even if you're a normal person without heart disease, taking magnesium takes stress off the heart and the circulatory system so you can function better. Now, they don't use magnesium now. They use drugs like Eliquis, and it just keeps going and going.
And I'm sorry, I was nodding my head.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
But I know you couldn't hear it. I agree with you. Okay.
No, and it's fine. Everything you're asking is perfectly fine. That's how we learn. If I don't understand something, I do the same thing all day long. Well, is this correct? Is this true? See, that's one of my favorite Bible verses about the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. Have you ever heard that one before?
Well,
it's just what they were praised and said they were more noble because what they did was they actually read the Word of God to see if what Paul and Silas was saying was true. And I always remember that because I like that. It's okay to question things like you're doing. I think you're doing a great job.
I'm humbled. Thank you.
Well, you know what? It's good to be humble because you can learn if you are. I don't have all the answers, and neither do you, so but we can learn. And yes, I'm learning from you this morning. That's good.
Oh, my. Thank you. I don't know what I did.
Well, you told me you're studying, and that means you're seeking knowledge. That's good.
I'm finding that the American Health Association or the American medical system in general has failed me as much as my
dude. If you follow their recommendations, let's put it this way: every registered dietitian has to approve what's in the snack machines at the hospitals. I don't want to hear it. You can tell me all day long that Cheetos, Doritos, Coca-Cola, Snicker bars, Three Musketeers, whatever the junk food crap they have in those machines, they approve of that as being nutritionally sound. Baloney. I'm not buying that for a second.
You're trying to kill us.
Well, I'm not going to say that, but I'm just going to say they can promote whatever they want. It's okay for you and I to question that. And so, you know what Jesus said? He said, "He that has an ear, let him hear." So it's up to us to listen, and then what are we going to do with it?
Right.
I would say the one definition of the word faith is it's the principle of all action. And so depending on what you believe, you're going to take action based on that. And that's going to determine how you're going to take care of yourself. Uh-oh, I've gone over time. I'm so sorry. I got to let you go.
Okay, thank you so much.
I wasn't paying attention. That was my fault. Okay, I enjoyed talking to you. Thank you very much.
All right, bye.
Thanks, bye-bye.